Welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast, where we share all kinds of tips, advice, and interview guests on all things innovation and leadership in modern marketing. Each episode is a conversation with inspiring people who make wonderful contributions to our knowledge in these areas and spark curiosity and ideas to pursue. Join me, Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and let's get into today's masterclass on this InnovaBuzz podcast.
I have this saying that those that seek education seek responsibility, those that seek advice seek blame. I've seen it time and time again. And so financial independence to me is actually knowing your numbers, knowing what do you need to be fully financially independent, you know, so that where time and money is no issue, what does your life look like?
Hi there, innovator. It's really great to be back with another episode. I hope you've had an awesome week so far. And I hope that you enjoyed my recent conversations with freelancing coach Laura Briggs and with Greg Rowlett of the Ambitious Media Group. I'm really excited to have on the InnovaBuzz podcast as my guest today, Mark Robinson from the International Academy of Wealth. For more than 23 years, Mark and his team have been working with business owners, with CEOs, and with everyday people who have a desire to take control of their financial future in order to truly create and experience financial independence. As an ex-financial planner who has a strong background within the financial services industry, plus having run and managed several millions of dollars of business and investment assets of his own, Mark really knows his stuff. He's co-author of the book The Sole Purpose of Wealth, where the message is stop being a slave to debt, build wealth, and live life on purpose. Listen to our conversation today and you'll find out how to get a free copy of that book. A quick promotional message from our sponsor, InnovaBiz, where we help coaches and consultants build professional credibility, engage their target audience, and connect with their ideal client. Now, to get really clear about who your ideal clients are and how you can help them and how you can connect with them to build an engaging and enduring relationship, we've put together a Marketing Master mini class, which you can access at innovabiz.co/marketingmaster. Go check it out. It's completely free and accessible without even giving away your email. In our discussion today, Mark talked to me about his ninja mind trick to quickly build financial wealth. He explained why it's important for a business to take profit and invest in other assets. And he shared some ideas around the future of investing. Without further ado then, let's fly into the hive and get the buzz from Mark Robinson. Hi, I'm your host, Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited to welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast today from Sydney, Australia, Mark Robinson, who's from the International Academy of Wealth. Welcome to the podcast, Mark. It's a great privilege to have you as my guest.
Oh, mate, glad to be here. Glad to be here.
Now, we mentioned John Bellamy just before we began recording. John was our guest on episode 212 of the InnovaBuzz podcast, and he suggested that we have a conversation with you. So big hello to John.
John says hello, mate. He's downstairs at the moment.
Yeah, right. Okay. Now, Mark, you help people to know how to make smart investment choices so they can be financially independent. You're co-author with your partner, Billy, of The Sole Purpose of Wealth, which I think is the sixth book you've written together, where the message in that particular book is to stop being a slave to debt, build wealth, and live your life on purpose, which is one of the outcomes. Now, you're all about providing different perspectives and ways of thinking to wealth education to allow people to design a personal plan to grow their wealth and accelerate their financial independence and, as a result, of course, live the life that they want to live. Now, before we start talking about all things wealth, growth, and investment choices, tell us a little bit about your background. So how did you get to where you are today, and what were some of the pivotal moments in that journey?
Yeah, look, I've been pretty much in financial services since I left school, which was a long, long time ago now. So so what are we? Yeah, about 30 years. So about 26 of those years I've been in financial services, from, you know, working in large financial institutions to running our own mortgage broking firm, financial planning firm, and accounting. So I've been in all stratas of that part. And I've just noticed, you know, over the last five, probably even 10 years, you know, as a licensed financial advisor for 13 of those years, I noticed that the system, or, you know, if we want to call it that, the government was really steering people into certain strategies that would potentially get them okay, but not fully wealthy and fully financially independent. And, you know, I started out, what really got me going was when I became a real estate agent for a short period. And then I met a guy who was a mortgage broker, and he started talking to me about the stuff called passive income. And I hadn't really heard about that at that stage. So that's when I sort of dived into being a mortgage broker. My amazing wife and I, we were in Townsville at the time, and when we found were pregnant with our first child, we decided to literally just up everything and go and live on the Sunshine Coast, which was closer to our family, or babysitters, as I nicely call them. And we decided to build a business, right, like on the Sunshine Coast, where we knew nobody. We had to, you know, innovate, you know, which is what this podcast is all about. And so we did, you know, we sent out direct mail letters way back then, if we can all remember those sort of things. And and we just did some really, you know, cool things that nobody else in the industry was doing. And we built the business really, really fast. The type of marketing that we were doing was just unheard of. We did the opposite to everybody else. But there was a pivotal moment. We talk about this a lot. And there was this point where we knew the business was growing. However, everything we were doing financially was what we were getting told, right, from the system. And it wasn't working. And I clearly remember the day when we actually had, you know, our daughter was two at the time, my wife was pregnant, and I actually had to leave our groceries at Woolworths because we had no credit cards left, we had no cash at all, and we were literally flat broke as we were building our business. And it was, I left that there smiling, and I remember looking at my wife, and she was, you know, almost in tears going, "Why are you smiling?" And I went, "Babe, we're at the bottom. You know, there's nowhere else to go but up." And that's when we started to dig deeper and to go, well, what are the wealthy people doing? What are businesses out there that are, you know, not only, you know, because from the outside, the business looked really good, right? Really healthy, plenty of clients, but the cash flow was there, but so were the expenses, if you know what I mean. So that's where we started to dig into, you know, what are the wealthy doing? And we realized that they were pulling profits out of their businesses and investing into other cash flow, either other cash flow businesses or assets. And so we started to do that ourselves. And that's the big key that I, you know, I notice around the place that people aren't teaching either as well as they should or not teaching at all. And another pivotal moment happened, Jürgen, six companies in 4 years. And the other pivotal moment was when we built our accounting practice. We actually hired a guy that turned out to be not the best accountant in the world. And long story short, he cost us personally $1 million to fix his mistakes.
Wow.
And we realized then that if we hadn't have started building those multiple streams of income, we would have been out of the wealth game for many, many years, if ever to return.
Hmm. Well, that's a pretty expensive lesson, but I guess the point you're making is that you had something in your asset stream somewhere where you could cover that in a realistic fashion.
Yeah, I mean, what we had to do was hire another accountant, which took a couple of years to do all the work that he didn't do, right? And and we, yeah, you're right. Because we had other income streams, we actually worked out that, you know what, if we didn't have those other income streams, we would have had to let all those clients down and basically close that company down and go through that whole process. So it's an important part of wealth building, whether you're a family with two incomes. Now, two incomes is not enough these days.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you mentioned passive income and you talked about taking profit out of the business and investing it in other areas, in other income generating streams. And I guess that the traditional model is you take profits out. Well, you don't take profits out of the business. You invest it back into the business. And a lot of the times people look at the cash flow in the business and kind of spend money as it's coming in. And so actually there isn't a profit at the end of the day. So what's different about the approach that you then took in taking out that profit and investing it elsewhere?
Well, all the mentors that I've had in my life, they always talk about pay yourself first. Hmm. And, so we thought we were doing that, but all we were doing was effectively paying ourselves a wage and we were just living off that. We weren't paying ourselves first in the true sense that they talk about, which is paying themselves first to invest. So when we started to do that, that's where, you know, the I don't know if you heard of the compounding effect. We started to, be able to compound another stream of income, and we take profits out of that stream of income and create another one, so on and so on. And at that time, we ended up with about 11 streams of income, ranging from, brutally honest, only 30, 40 bucks a month, right up to, high six figures. Yeah. So there was a good mix there of, what we were trying to build. What I'm finding is that and I get it as a business owner, we're so passionate about what we do that we want to keep investing back into it. But two things I look at is, what if it doesn't work? And two, if what's your exit strategy? Because not the scary thing is there's going to be so many businesses coming up for sale with the baby boomers wanting to retire, that your business has to be incredibly outstanding for somebody even think about it, let alone buy it. And the other thing is, most people have seen their parents slave away in the business that, parents think they're going to hand it down to their kids. The kids don't want it.
Yeah.
So you've got to realize that, not everyone's going to have the next Facebook or the next Amazon, whatever. And quite often what you've got to do is start preparing sooner. And I know for a fact that I can find money out of every business, out of every employees' wages, just by doing something, a little bit. I call it a ninja mind trick, right? And I'm happy to share it if need be.
Yeah, well, go ahead, share it.
Well, you think about this, right? To move, whether it's your business or your home, to move home, whether you're paying rent or a mortgage, costs a fair bit of money.
Yeah,
you're looking at least, I believe, at least $2,000. By the time you get removalists in and cleaning the bond, if you're in a rental property, or even like selling a property, you've got the sales cost, you've got, purchase costs on the other end. So it's quite an expensive exercise. So what I've been doing is going, right, what figure does your rental mortgage need to go up per week for you to go, that's too much, I have to move?
Yeah.
Right. And quite often we're finding it's anywhere from $50, right, depending on the tightness of the budget, right up to, $300-$500 a week. And what I get you to do then is go, right, now let's just pretend, imagine that the landlord has put your rent or your mortgage up by that amount of money.
Hmm.
then you turn around and say that greedy landlord or the greedy bank, right?
Yeah.
My mortgage and rent has just gone up $200 a week. Cool. So what you do is you then take that money, that $200 a week, and you put it into a bank account where you have no access to it on the internet and no access via the ATM card. And you start using that as what we call a wealth account. Instantly, with the success we're getting from just that alone, right, has been extraordinary.
Mm.
So even like if you're a business, right, if we go to the business side, you're either paying rent or whether you're paying rent at home or you're paying, you know, retail or whatever it is, just put your rent up because it's still cash flow and pull it out of the business and start investing it.
Mm. Okay. So the wealth account is basically just accumulating some money that you can then invest somewhere, right?
Correct. Yeah. And the goal is to never spend it on anything, only to invest it.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. And it reminds me a little bit, there's a couple of apps now that are available where you can pay things on your phone and you put some money into the app. And let's say, for example, I buy my coffee off that so I can keep track of my coffee spend. So if I buy a cup of coffee, typically it's about $4.20 for my large cup of long black in the morning. And it rounds it up to $5 and it puts the other 80 cents into a kind of a secret vault. And I looked at it the other day and I've only been using this for about 6 months and there's already about $35 saved up in that account. So it's like it's money that I wasn't aware that I had stashed away. And also it's not hurting me at all to pay $5. Well, effectively I'm paying $5 every day instead of $4.20. But the difference I actually have there to do something with.
Yeah, and we cover that. We actually call that strategy speed savings.
Mm-hmm.
And we cover it in the book. So, and we give you a couple of options. So there's actually, you know, you can do that via not so much like rounding up, but you can do that via gold and silver by automatically buying gold and silver every week. And also cryptocurrency. You know, there's an app out there that does the same thing. So, but we tend to call that more of a speed savings than an investment strategy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then generally with our community, what happens is they'll use the speed savings to, you know, they still put their money away into the wealth account, but then when their speed savings gets to $500, $1,000, they pull it out of that and puts it into their wealth account.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's a great strategy. Like, love that you're doing that.
On a small scale. All right. Well, you mentioned kind of the traditional system and how it kind of held you back, even though the business was really successful and growing. So what's wrong with the traditional systems and the information that most of us have access to around investments and building wealth?
Yeah, look, the main part is when you're a licensed financial advisor, you can only give advice on what's on your approved product list, right? So you can't actually give advice on anything else. And a lot of people think they can go to an advisor and go, hey, can you give me some advice on buying a business or investing in cryptocurrency or buying a property? And they actually can't. They can go, no, I can only give you advice on, depending on the level of their license. Some people can only, you know, some advisors can only give you advice on life insurance. Others can give you advice on superannuation and investing in life insurance. And then, you know, I was at the higher end where I could give you advice on direct shares, self-managed super funds, investing in self-managed super funds. But the products were all the same. And no matter who we went with, they were still aiming, you know, return-wise anywhere from sort of 5% per annum to 10, sort of 10, you know. And the system educated us to think that 10% per annum is a really good return. Where it's, in fact, it's not. It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, well, if you look at, I can't remember what the exact numbers were recently, but they're talking in Australia about inflation rates around about 2.5% or 3%. And I always wonder about, because they only count certain things in that. And if you look at stuff like health insurance or fuel costs, vehicle costs, those sort of things, they're increasing at well over 10% some years. So then a 10% return on investment is barely covering expenses, isn't it?
100%. And if you think about, how does the banks make $6 billion a year net? what are they doing that they're not telling us, right?
Yeah.
And that's what got me to really start to look out there and go, well, what's out there now? Like, the world's changed. There's so many new tools out there. There's so many new opportunities out there. How do we educate people to let them know that there's potentially better strategies out there than what they've currently got access to? Right. And even if my goal, my goal is to, even if you turn around and say, you know what, I get that there's all these cool opportunities out there, but I'm happy to stay with a traditional advisor, then my job's done, right? But at least they know what's out there.
Yeah, yeah. It's about being aware and then having the ability to make a choice rather than going the traditional route by default because you don't know any better.
Exactly. And before we go on, like, if I'm going to start, quoting some returns. So, guys, the disclaimer always is that past performance do not guarantee future returns. Okay. Like, let's get that out of it. And I don't know anyone's situation, so I'm not going to mention any actual products. I'm just going to talk in general terms. That's all right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So take property, for example. The innovation in property nowadays, you don't have to go out and buy a whole house, right? You can invest in property in Australia, in the US, globally. And one of the strategies we talk about is currently paying 9.4% per annum in a property, right? And you can start with as little as $500 to build your portfolio. So all of a sudden you can start building, what I call quality assets and giving you a fairly decent return and you being in full control of it.
Yeah. Okay. So let's take a step back first of all, because you mentioned, on your website and your whole purpose is to help people, educate people so that they can build their own financial freedom. So talk to me a little bit more about financial freedom. I mean, a lot of people say, I want to be financially free, I want to be financially independent. What exactly does that mean? Or how do you define it?
Yeah, look, I there's a big difference between being financial free and financially independent. And I believe that the difference between the two is education. Because anybody can become financially free. You can win the lotto. You can get an inheritance. Someone can gift you enough money to be financially free.
Yeah.
However, the stats are pretty scary on lotto ticket winners, right? 94%, are worse off within 2 years than they were before they won. And this is people who've won like $300-400 million. Like, hey, who spends $400 million in 2 years, right?
Yeah, it's quite scary, isn't it? Because it's sort of hard to imagine how you can spend that money and have nothing to show for it after that short amount of time.
And sometimes less to show for it. That's even scarier, right? So the difference, I believe, is education. And I've always had this, especially being a financial planner, when, back in 2008, when everything just turned to custard, people were seeking blame, and I'm going, I had zero control over the markets, right?
Yeah.
How does that work? And that's where we started to build the education side so that people can start to take responsibility. And I have this saying that those that seek education seek responsibility, those that seek advice seek blame. And it's, I've seen it time and time again. And so financial independence to me is actually knowing your numbers, knowing what do you need to be fully financially independent, so that where time and money is no issue, what does your life look like? And all the goal setting programs out there, they're good, or some of them aren't, but even the real good ones are used, like SMART goals, for example. They don't actually define the financial part of it. So you know, we teach people to actually work out what would their ultimate life cost them on a yearly annual basis, you know, once they were there. So you get in there and you go, well, I want to travel overseas 3 times a year. And I go, well, that's cool. However, how are you traveling? Are you going economy, business, or premium, first class? Because there's a massive difference between flying economy and business, right?
Yeah.
So getting it right down to even the type of travel they're doing, and then that gives us something to aim for. That's the key. Having a target to go, right, we now know as a financial coach, we now know what we're aiming for. Now we need to know where you are, and then we start building your portfolio to actually suit your lifestyle.
Mm. Yeah, which is that's completely kind of topsy-turvy from the traditional way, particularly, let's say, travel. People kind of look at, oh, I'd love to take this trip to wherever. And so they say, well, how much money am I going to spend? And that's my budget. Now, what can I do with that budget? Whereas you're turning that on its head and saying, well, how often do you want to travel? How would you like to travel? And then how much is that going to cost? So how much money are you going to need to be able to do that?
Exactly. Mm. And again, then we've got those 2 points. You know, it's we know where you want to be, where you are now. The other thing that we do extremely different is we actually, again, we start to teach you how to build the portfolio based on our model of the wealth pyramid, which is, you know, teaching people about different types of asset classes, how long you hold them for, the types of returns you should expect from them. And, you know, we developed that from a Nobel Peace Prize economist, a guy called Harry Markowitz. So, you know, I'd like to make claim of it, but we, you know, but it was done by someone far smarter than me. But we've put it into a language that's more understandable. Mm. So that's, you know, and by then building your portfolio, then we worry about what the actual investment's going to be. So it's when we go through it, it's the actual product, or, you know, whether it's property, shares, gold, diamonds, whatever, is literally immaterial until you know how your portfolio should look. And that's where people go, whoa, hang on. I saw an advisor and he gave me, you know, 10 different products because they're going to do this based on what, you know?
Mm.
That's the big difference.
Yeah. So talk to me a little bit more about the wealth pyramid. How does that work?
So what it is it's basically six different asset classes, you know, and it starts at, you know, the bottom is foundational, for example, and you know, you're targeting a return of say 5 to 12%, and those are the assets that you want to keep forever.
Hmm.
And the key to that is you go, okay, well, what are they? Are well, things like, you know, and these are just our definitions, things like property, whether it's commercial, residential, retail, globally, doesn't matter, gold, silver, diamonds, Bitcoin, if you believe in the true essence of what Bitcoin's meant to be. So they are foundational, right?
Hmm. And the purpose of them is to kind of provide cash flow on an ongoing basis?
Well, ultimately, you want to have a large part of your portfolio in foundational, even though the returns are sort of on the lower end.
Yeah.
But when we talk about, you know, some of the things that we've got access to, you know, that are paying 3% per month, you know, 36% per annum, and sometimes higher, the goal is to take the profit from those and trickle it down the pyramid into the foundations ultimately.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
Right. You know, and then the other layers go through wholesale cash flow, you know, focused asset sector, active trading, and early stage investing. So, mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't realize, but you can do early stage investing now like the wealthy, and it's a lot easier to do it. But what I find, those that are doing even that are doing it wrong because they're putting too much money into it. Like early stage investing, not every early stage investment company is going to be the next Facebook.
Yeah.
And that's something people need to understand. You don't need to put $5,000, $10,000, $50,000 into the next Facebook, because $100 in Facebook at the start would now be worth $250,000.
Yeah.
So you can start to spread and manage your risk really well once you know what you're trying to achieve.
Okay. Yeah, and I guess the pyramid and the overall financial goals, the way you've set them, kind of set people up for success rather than for the quick win, which often people, when people think of investing, they're, you know, thinking about a quick win, and then they take risk and make mistakes, I guess.
Yeah, look, without knowing where you're going, like what I hear a lot is, I'm going to chuck a couple of bucks at that and give it a go.
Yeah.
And that's just because they don't have the clarity and quite often the confidence to make proper financial decisions.
Mm.
And that's the key of what we do. And, you know, in our book, the latest book, that's done with you. Like you can go off and do everything that we talk about by yourself if you choose to.
Yeah.
We've done it in that way.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm fascinated by some of this. I guess one of the questions I have is, you mentioned Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. Well, cryptocurrency, we won't do a branding thing. And I'm fascinated at what you see as the future of investing, because there's the cryptocurrency, but there's also technologies, as you mentioned, that allows you to invest in things that perhaps in the past have been difficult to get to unless you've had a lot of money and perhaps you're in the investment game. So what do you see as the future of investing and some of the trends that are coming down the track that people should start to pay attention to and perhaps give consideration to?
Yeah, I think the biggest trend is to realize that you don't have to do it yourself.
Yeah.
There is technology out there nowadays that allows Forex trading, right? Currency trading.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you trade, you say, the US dollar against the Australian dollar, and you basically place a, I'm going to call a bet, right? You basically go, I bet it's going to go up or down, yeah? And you need to learn, you know, if you want to do it yourself, we've spoken to a number of professional traders and all of them have been the same. It takes a good 10 years to do, and you're going to lose or invest in your education one way or the other. Around $250,000, right?
Mm. Yeah.
But nowadays there's software, like one of the opportunities that we have access to, we have a professional trader trade for us. And what I love the most is the fact that when he trades, we trade. So we don't even have to know how to trade Forex, right? Mm. And the other good thing about Control is we're using what they call a mirror trading software, so that the money doesn't even leave our account. So we're not sending it off to a fund manager or anything like that. We have full control. We can put money in, take money out whenever we want. And, you know, we're getting incredible success by trading Forex without actually knowing how to trade Forex. And that's the innovation that's available now, not the future, now.
Hmm.
And that's something that we love. And that's where you're making, you know, the last 3 months we've averaged over 3% per month.
Yeah. That's,
you know, and even if we go back into traditional models, like we've got software that trades the US stock market for us. And, you know, that was built by an ex-Wall Street fund manager. So he's a math magician, you know. He's a genius. And, you know, you can actually talk to these guys. So you know that they're real people and you can do your due diligence and your homework and see where it fits in your portfolio, you know, based on the education we provide. So that's that innovation that you talk about, that you no longer do you have to rely on, and you can, right? You can rely on a financial advisor because that may suit you. But if you want to take responsibility, you can learn that the innovation out there, especially with technology, that you can trade shares without knowing how to trade shares. You can trade Forex. You can trade even cryptocurrencies. So that's the innovations that are available right now.
Mm.
Don't have to wait for the future, right now. Now, in terms of technology and stuff moving forward, you know, keep an eye on blockchain, And I think people get a bit confused the difference between cryptocurrency and blockchain. There's a massive difference. So, you know, keep a good eye on blockchain, because that can disrupt a number of industries, and we're seeing it happen now.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, blockchain, I mean, there's applications now that are around that are quite amazing, that are based on blockchain technology. So I guess that the opportunity is there. And I'm guessing what you're talking about there is the opportunity to invest in blockchain as a technology, and perhaps companies that are involved. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, look, but all cryptocurrency and blockchain sit up in the top of the pyramid in that early stage investing.
Yeah, obviously.
Right. And the reason why it's sort of shaped like a pyramid is because you should be putting less and less of your money or your overall portfolio the higher up the pyramid. So, yeah, you've really, there's some incredible projects out there in that blockchain space that are really going to change the way we do things. And I think one that I love, that's right up there, is you can start to profit like the banks by lending to peer, you know, they call it peer-to-peer lending. And that alone, you know, you can make anywhere from 7% to 20% per annum by lending money out to, you know, directly to other people who need it. Yeah. What I like about that program is most people, right, the default rates are way lower than the bank default rates, because most people, if they owe money and they can't pay it to a bank, they don't care. But if they owe money to another human being, they tend to make, you know, a bit more of an effort to get the money back, right?
Yeah.
So it's actually almost like less riskier.
Yeah. So it's a little bit like Airbnb with money.
Correct, right?
Yeah.
And again, I look all through our childhood, all through, even through when I was in a financial advisor and in, right into the financial system, all of us have been educated exactly where they want us, right? And they don't want us to know that these things are available now. They want us to keep thinking that we have to work for 40, 50 years before we might have enough to retire.
Yeah, and they want us to invest in, I mean, this is one of my big bugbears, they want us to invest in the government guaranteed super funds, because at some point they can have access to that when they choose to change the rules.
Oh, I say this on stage a lot. The government currently owes about $600 billion.
$2 trillion. The Australian government, yeah. And they're probably not the worst.
We're not, right? And look, I've been doing a lot of teaching and we've got a really cool community in Japan and really proud culture. And when I explain to them how broke their government is in that, and in fact, most of their pensions are actually, broke. They are insolvent, yeah? It breaks them, but they're actually excited that they know now, not later.
Yeah.
But the Australian government, right, we owe $700 billion. And if you ever want, if you're in a really good mood and you want to get into a real sour mood, go to www.australiandebtclock.com.au, and it ticks over every second as to how much debt plus interest we owe.
Hmm.
Right? It'll get you down really fast.
Yeah. Big reality check.
Yeah, I know, right? But or if you're worried that you owe $50,000 on credit cards or something, go there. It'll cheer you up. You're not the worst, right? But the government, yeah, the government owes about $600-700 billion. But there's $2 trillion sitting in our super fund. Mm. I know for a fact that if I was in power right now, if President Mark Robinson was in power, I would be controlling that $2 trillion.
Hmm.
I would turn around and say, yep, hey, we've decided that when you no longer can take out lump sums, and we're going to pay you a pension from your super for the rest of your life. And when you die, we get to keep it.
Yeah.
All right. Instantly, we would owe no debt, and we would have $1.4, $1.3 trillion sitting in a bank account.
Hmm.
So, and people go, oh, they won't do that. I said, they've already started. They started back in 2007.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. No, they've been fiddling with that that legislation for a long time.
Well, the other scary part is people don't realise, but if you don't contact your superannuation fund, it used to be 4 years, it's now 12 months.
Mm.
That money goes to the ATO. The ATO actually spends it until you decide you need to find your super. They are collecting well over $400 to $500 million a year now in lost super. And when you, you know, this is how nerdy I can be sometimes. When you dig right into the balance sheet of and the profit or loss of our government, if it's our super, it should sit as a liability on their balance sheet, but it doesn't. It actually sits on the profit and loss as an income.
Yeah.
And all you business owners out there know that that shouldn't be the case, right?
Yeah.
We all know what a balance sheet should look like. And if I owe you money, right, it should be a liability and not as an income.
Yeah, well, it does say something about how they view that money, doesn't it?
100%. 100%.
All right. Now, the other thing I'm fascinated about when, you know, we had a conversation and I was looking into your business is you basically set up an online training program to address all these knowledge and training and education around financial security, financial independence, financial freedom. So how did you get started with that online training program and building that community?
Yeah, look, it started while I was still a licensed advisor. And I kept getting into trouble because you can only say what they allow you to say, right? Mm. So I basically couldn't speak the truth, which sounds horrible, but that's how it is, yeah. And so I started to exit my planning business. I sold it and I eventually gave my license back about 2 years ago. But the academy's been going for about 6 years. So there was a good transition period there. And it came purely out of frustration of not being able to tell people what we were investing in, what was out there because of the licensing criteria, right? But look, and I'm not trying to, you know, kiss the backside of the government. That there are absolute reasons why there should be licensing when people are giving advice around products and stuff. And we're not in the advice business anymore. We're in the education business, right? So if someone comes to us looking for advice, we cannot provide it. We can provide you with the education so you can make the decisions best for you, right? But there absolutely, I agree, there should be licensing around because, you know, because of what's happened in the past, right? Too many rogue people out there. So it came out of that frustration. So we started to look around and go, well, how can we better serve our clients? How can we add value? And we decided to create the academy. And we started off, with our own clients going, hey, we've got an education platform. We started doing webinars, live events. We record absolutely everything. And again, because of technology these days, you can, you know, create one bit of content once and, you know, spit it out to, you know, what, 10, 15 types. Mm. Jürgen, like, you're probably a better master than me. I'm probably the worst marketer out.
Yeah, good old repurposing. Yeah.
We looked at, right, what do we need? We need a database, you know, so we use things like Infusionsoft or Keep, I think they're now called.
Hmm.
Then we use, which is a great, great platform. We love it. And then things like Memberium for the course. There's another little plugin that we use as well that ties it all together. And then, you know, then it just comes down to, right, what sort of avenues are we going to market? And we do, most of ours have come from referrals. So we're, you know, I'm the first to admit that I'm not the best marketer in the world, right? But we've got a team around us now that's going to change that because we do want to get out there and let people know, more people know what's available, you know, because of the successes that we're getting. You know, far, far better successes than I've ever seen in the 20-odd years I've been in this industry. So then it's just taking those, you know, the types of software that's out there and then, yeah, utilizing that to deliver a great service, deliver value, and then, you know, start that into that marketing funnel as well.
Mm. Yeah, what I love about that, I mean, there's so many different subjects of knowledge that people have in different locations, and the opportunity that we have today with technology to actually set up online training programs and to get those in the hands of the people that you can help and also start to scale that is quite amazing. So I think, you know, this is one really good example of how you've gone about doing that and taking your knowledge and your information and building a platform and a community around that.
Yeah, and where we're different is people still get access to me, right? So a lot of those, the big boys out there that are doing the wealth, the whole wealth creation side of things, you know, you no longer can you get access to the Tony Robbins unless you want to pay, $500,000 for a day and, the Robert Kiyosaki's and that sort of stuff. So, you know, I'm proud of the fact that you, every single member that we have in Japan via a translator for half our group over there, and, Australia, New Zealand, the US, that you still have access to me because we've built it in a way that that I can handle, 200, 300 members.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing about that is, where do you choose to scale it to, and how do you set it up in a way that fits that model? Because if it gets out of hand, you don't have that personal relationship anymore, and it can explode and become a really big thing, or it can just fall over because it's missing the personal relationship.
Yeah, and I think scaling can be a myth, right? You don't have to scale to make money. You just have to be profitable to make money.
Yeah. I think that's a really important point, because if you've got the right community and you've got those strong relationships, then as you say, you need to be profitable to make money, and it's your duty to be profitable to that community, because you have to be there for them in the long term.
Yeah, and look, we had, when we had the mortgage broking business, accounting and those group of companies, we had 13, 14 staff, and we realized that they were making more money than we were, yeah. Right? Yeah. And I'm just going, this there's got to be a better way. And then when when the accountant did what he did, it was, believe it or not, it was a blessing, because we realized that there were other alternative, company structures or business way to do business. And now we are way more profitable. We add way more value than we've ever been able to in the past, even with 13 staff. We deliver, our relationships are a lot closer. We've become more of a family than clients with all of them. And, I believe that's wealth to me, because wealth isn't about the money. It's got nothing to do with it. It's about what you define wealth as. And, we moved from the Sunshine Coast where we had a $400 a week mortgage. We now live in Sydney where it's $1,200 a week to rent. Yeah. And people think we're insane, but we've actually got a better lifestyle now than we ever had.
Hmm. Yeah, well, I think that's a really important point that, wealth is more than just the money. It's about, lifestyle and happiness and what is it you want to do with your life and being able to make the choice to do whatever it is you want.
100%. Like we're financially independent now, right? But we're actually location dependent, because I've got our eldest is in HSC year next year. Our youngest is 3 years to go. So for now, we're still dependent because their school is amazing where we are here on the Northern Beaches. And, at the end of the day, we're not, it's the wrong way to say it, but we're stuck here for 3 years, yeah, right? Yeah. However, then once that happens, we then become truly independent, so we go from being location dependent to being independent. Wherever we want to be, we can. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't realize that, the level of lifestyle is completely different. Like there's countries in the world that you can live like kings and queens for $2,000 US per month.
Yeah.
And I'm talking like first world countries as well, not just third world countries. There's parts of France that you can live like that, parts of Spain, Portugal, Belize, quality countries in South America for $2,000 a month. What's that, about $3,000 Australian?
Yeah.
But $3,000 Australian to live in Sydney, that doesn't even cover a month's rent.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So people have got to realize that there's ways to become independent sooner. But it's that old saying, you don't know what you don't know.
Mm. That's right. Yeah. Of course, that raises a whole another discussion topic, which we could get onto, but I'm aware of the time. So I think it's a great time to move on to the Buzz, which is our innovation round. And it's designed primarily to help our audience who are leaders and innovators in their field with some tips from your experience. So I guess it comes back to partly the lessons from your financial background, but also around business in particular. So I've got five questions, and hopefully we'll get some insightful answers that will inspire our listener to go and do something awesome today.
So, hope so.
Yeah, what's the number one thing you think anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
I'm going to go with open-minded. Mm-hmm. You need to be open-minded and realize that, and I love that what you sent us, there are no wrong answers. So when you're open-minded, there are no wrong answers, right?
Yeah.
You know, and it's about realizing that you're. I always go into an argument or a conversation knowing that I'm wrong, right? And I know that sounds weird, but I'm not trying to win an argument. I'm not trying to win a conversation. I'm going in there going, I'm probably not right. Let's listen.
Mm.
You know, what's out there that can help our community to build their businesses, to build their wealth. And I really believe you need to, that's the number one thing to be more innovative is to be open-minded.
Mm, yeah, that's great. I love the idea of getting into a debate with the attitude, I'm probably wrong, because it does open up possibilities, doesn't it, that you might not have been aware of.
Yeah, mm. and I think humans need to, and especially you said a lot on social media that, people will argue the point regardless, and I just look at it and go, it's not a war, it's just a conversation, leave it at that.
All right, well, what's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas?
The best thing I've done is understand where I am. We use a profiling tool called Wealth Dynamics, and I am a creator profile. And when I did that profile, I realized that I'm very good at starting things and I'm absolute crap at finishing them. So, I'm natural at building new, having new ideas. But I really believe the best thing you can do is even look at other ideas and make them better, because you don't have to reinvent the wheel. And look at the wealth pyramid, for example. I believe we've made it better purely because mum and dads will be able to understand it now versus, an incredible mind, Harry Markowitz, that developed it. He's won a Nobel Peace Prize, right? But most people can't understand there's logic behind it.
Yeah, yeah. It's presented presented for a different audience.
Correct. Mm. Yeah, don't be afraid to utilize other people's products and ideas, but please do the right thing and note, where you got the idea from.
That's right.
I always do that.
Acknowledge.
Mm. I'd like to say that I developed it, but I didn't. I believe I've made it better for the average, the average mum and dad.
Mm. Yeah, that's great advice. Now, what's a favorite resource you have that you use a lot?
I think to do real fast innovation, I use a mind map tool.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love to remember the one. I think the one I actually have is Mind Genius. It doesn't work on Mac. It only works on the old school Microsoft.
Yeah.
But the reason why I like that is that one particular version is because when you're in that zone, when you press enter, you go to another bubble. Mm. You don't have to move it and click it. So it's really, really fast. I think I've written a book in half an hour because I mind mapped every single chapter, and then just all I had to do is just fill in the blanks.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a huge fan of mind mapping. I've been doing it since the late 1980s, so I'm dating myself a little bit now. I remember having the late Tony Buzan, seeing him present in Melbourne live on stage, which was quite amazing. One of the smartest guys that I've ever met, I think. And ever since then, I've been doing mind mapping, both hand-drawn and also with software. So, yeah, it is a fabulous way of outlining things very quickly and putting together a whole lot of information.
Yeah, 100%. And I also believe you can over-systemize your business. So don't be afraid to still do some stuff manually.
Yeah, that's great. That's great advice too, because I think, yeah, you talked earlier about the personal relationship in the business and so on. And I think that, you know, over-systemizing the business or over-automating stuff inside the business can, there's a big risk there that you kind of lose that personal connection.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And, you know, I don't know what we spoke about John Bellamy, and I believe this is how you and I got to meet. But the what I like about him, like, he's a great friend of mine, but he's also become an incredible mentor as well. And he, all he ever says to me is, pick up the phone, pick up the phone, pick up the phone. You know, so don't automate everything. Pick up the phone.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Yeah, unfortunately, I think we need to point out to a lot of people these days that those things that you have in your pocket, you can actually use them to talk to people as well as surf the internet and look at Facebook and so on.
Yeah. It's probably the biggest tool, like you talk about favorite tool, it is the phone. If you want to make money, you've got to pick up the phone.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, that's a nice bit of advice hidden in there, so just remember that one. What's the best way to keep a client on track?
Yeah, look, there's, to keep a client on track, it is that relationship. It's about don't being afraid to ring them up to see if they help, because quite often what will happen is, you know, when you're, especially in the, you know, when you're thinking about finances and stuff, a lot of people have never been educated properly, so that, you know, there's a bit of, you know, embarrassment there, or they might feel a little bit of shame that they should know it. And it's not the case, you know. It's they've you know, the system has educated us in this way. So, you know, quite often it's not your fault, but however, it is now your responsibility to take control and learn about it, right? So it just. Again, I believe the best way is to pick up the phone and say, hey, how are you going with our spreadsheet? How are you going with getting your end game, getting everything together? That, to me, has been the best way to make it stay on track. In terms of, like, projects and stuff, we've tried all the project management tools. I'm old school. I still find that just writing it down, knowing what I need to do next, crossing it off my list is by far the most productive way to do it for me.
Yeah, well, certainly I think, you know, you talked earlier about the relationship and being available to your clients, and I think that connection and that checking in regularly with them, how they're doing with the course, how they're doing with their goals is certainly a great way to work through these things. And I think a lot of online training courses suffer from, you know, people buy them and then they park them. And I've done this, you park them and never get back to them and don't actually get the benefit out of them. So I think having that personal touch point is a really good thing.
Yeah. And look, one of my mentors told me, because we quite often will take things on board personally as well. Like, why aren't they getting success? You know, they've bought the program. Why haven't they booked in a coaching call? You know, at the end of the day, it's not up to us to, you know, to extract the value. It's up to the person who's purchased your course to extract the value.
Yeah, yeah.
When I heard that, I went, oh, it just took a lot of, yeah, that angst from myself personally, right, away. Yeah, so it's up to them to extract the value. So don't take it personally if they don't.
All right. Now, what's the number one thing you think anyone can do to differentiate themselves?
Geez, that's a good question. You know, I believe you've got to be a disruptor, no matter what the cost. I think it depends on where you want to be, right? And again, this comes down to, you know, I talk about financial freedom with knowing your numbers, your end game. you also we've developed the system to be business orientated as well. So where is it that you want to be? So to differentiate yourself, you might not have to if your goals are to make $100,000 a year in passive income or whatever. But if you want to be the next Facebook, then yeah, you have to, you know, go right out there and solve the problem. Mm. What's the problem you're trying to solve? You know, I believe there's a lack of education around finances and creating wealth. And, you know, that's what I want to do is to go, you know, business, especially business owners, because I've been one since I was 20, right? Been self-employed since I was very, very young. So I'm passionate about helping business owners because we're the ones who take the biggest risks every single day.
Yeah.
So you know, you've got to be, to me, we talk a lot about this. I'm the same person on this podcast as I am on stage, right? As I am at a pub at 3 a.m. Believe it, like that's me. I've decided to just be me. Mm. And the only slight difference is this is your podcast, so I haven't dropped the F-bomb, right? I'm getting better at that. but it's me, yeah. Whether I'm on a stage in Japan, if I feel that the F-bomb is required, I'll use it. If I don't think it is, it doesn't matter. So just be yourself, and I believe that's the number one thing that'll differentiate yourself. Mm. Everybody else in the marketplace right now, because the people are getting taught how to be fake.
Yeah, that's right. Do it like this person, and so they decide that they'll be that person or try to be that person.
Yeah, like I know I could make more sales if I went to, I won't mention any names, but a large, you know, speaker organization, and they teach you how to use NLP properly, and they polish you up, right? But our community is actually a interview only basis, and I'm proud to say that we've turned away more than we've actually let in, and we'll never change that. So I don't need to know how to be polished. I'm just going to be me, and if you don't like it, that's fine.
Yeah. Well, I think that's one really powerful way to differentiate yourself is to say, well, you know, I can help a certain type of person, and it's the person that is going to feel comfortable dealing with me and to whom I add value, and to have that interview beforehand and say, you know, are you that person? And if not, you're better off going somewhere else. Is a really good way to differentiate yourself, and also it establishes a base for the relationship up front.
Yeah, like in our community, we have 3 live events a year, right? 3 3-day events where it's pure content. Even the guests that come are not allowed to sell from our stage, so it's not a pitch fest. Mm. You're pure content, but it's like a big family reunion.
Yeah,
yeah. So it's and that was actually my youngest daughter. She goes, "Dad, you know what I like about Basecamp? It's like a big family reunion." And I went, "Babe, that's exactly what we're achieving." Right? So she gets it, and that's why we're so different, is because we don't take everybody with a pulse and a credit card.
Yeah.
If we can't help, we'll tell you.
Mm. All right. Well, thank you, Mark. This has been really fabulous. Now, where can people reach out and find out more about the International Wealth Academy and about you, and perhaps even say thank you for what you've shared with us today?
Yeah, look, the best way is, and because we're so passionate about it, the book is the best way to learn more about us, because that's, you know, what you see is what you get in there. So if you guys want to get a free copy of the book, just download it at www.iawbook.com.
Okay, that's
fabulous. iawbook.com. And, there's zero upsell, guys. There's nothing. You can just put in your details and get a copy of our book. If you want to chat to us, you can. If you don't, that's fine as well.
Wonderful.
But by reading that book, especially over Christmas, if it's if that's the case, then you'll get a lot of information out of that for sure.
All right. Well, thanks for that. That's very generous. And I know I've read through the book. There's a lot of wonderful information in there, and it kind of certainly opened my eyes to some stuff that I wasn't aware of. So that's really something that's worth having a look at. So we'll post links to that in the show notes as well.
Fantastic. Thank you.
All right. Now, is there a single piece of advice you'd like to leave the listener today, particularly if they're looking to be a leader in innovation and in their field?
I purely believe it's don't do it yourself. You don't have to do everything yourself, right? But keep the stuff that you love to do, and just be you. I think that's the biggest advice I can give you, and that alone in today's world will be innovation enough.
Mm. Yeah, great. I love that. Yeah. Yeah.
Bring the team.
Yeah. All right. Okay, Mark, well, one more question. Who would you like me to chat with on a future Innova Buzz podcast and why?
I believe that a guy called Will Reed. Now, Will Reed, I've only known him for about a year, but him and I have become quite good friends. And Will's located in a place called Kofu in Japan. And Will's a 67-year-old American who's been in Japan for well over 40-odd years. And he is a samurai, a fully-fledged samurai.
Oh, wow.
He's a 10th Dan in calligraphy. He's got his own TV show. He's got his own YouTube channel, podcast. Like, he's a radio show. And him and I are actually doing a samurai wealth retreat this year, where you can go and, you know, learn samurai and business stuff and mold them together. Why I believe he would be a really good guest on your show is because he's really is bringing the lessons from the past into the today and the future.
Mm. Yeah, sounds absolutely fascinating. Okay, well, thanks so much for sharing your time and insights with us so generously on the Innova Buzz podcast today, Mark. I've really enjoyed this immensely, learned a whole lot more, even after reading The Sole Purpose of Wealth, but I certainly encourage the listener to check out that link and download a copy of the book, which is Mark's so generously offered for free. And thanks again. I wish you all the best for the future, and let's keep in touch.
Yeah, definitely, mate. Anytime, if there's if you'd like to come and chat to at one of our stages, we can, you know, you want to share your knowledge with our community, love to have you as well.
Excellent. Thanks very much. I hope you enjoyed that fun, insightful and informative conversation with Mark and took something away from his episode. The most important message in today's conversation for me was to diversify your investments in a way that allows access to some high return assets with low risk. I'd love to know what you took away from Mark's episode. Leave a comment below the blog post, which you can find at innovabiz.co/Mark Robinson. That is MarkRobinson. All lowercase, all one word, innovabiz.co/Mark Robinson. You'll also find contact information for getting in touch with Mark there, as well as links to the International Academy of Wealth website, where you can get your free copy of The Sole Purpose of Wealth, and also the other resources we spoke about in today's conversation. Mark suggested we have a conversation with Will Reed on a future Innova Buzz podcast episode. Will describes himself as a Renaissance samurai, and he helps people access ancient wisdom from samurai culture and combine that with contemporary context and meaning to help navigate the winds and waves of change. Sounds absolutely fascinating. So, Will, keep an eye on your inbox for an invitation from us to the Innova Buzz podcast, courtesy of Mark Robinson. Remember to check out our Marketing Master mini class at innovabiz.co/marketingmaster. It's completely free and you can get it without even giving us your email. But most importantly, in less than 30 minutes, you'll gain absolute clarity about your ideal client and how you can communicate with them to build and strengthen an engaging, enduring relationship. And if you'd like our help to go even deeper into marketing mastery or our help with podcast production, then send me an email to jurgen@innovabiz.co and we'll set up a quick get-to-know-us call just to have a conversation and find out if indeed we're a good fit for one another. Tune in again next week to the next episodes of the Innova Buzz podcast, where we've got some more fantastic guests lined up, including Zach McGill of Perk Health and Sarah McIntyre of Bright Inbound. Stay connected with us by subscribing to the Innova Buzz podcast at innovabuzz.com/subscribe. innovabuzz.com/subscribe. Make sure you never miss another episode. It would also mean a lot to me if you leave us a review, because what you think matters. I'd love to hear your thoughts, your ideas, your suggestions, or questions you have, so go ahead and share them in the comments below the blog post for this episode. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember, be awesome and keep innovating.